Let's turn to, I wasn't going to do a reading, but I think I'm going to change my mind. Let's turn to Psalms 133. Psalms 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Today we're going to talk about unity. Last couple brothers giving a talk, they talked about the bees, the bumblebee, the honeybee, how they all work together. And maybe started thinking about unity and about how we're supposed to act. And we're not going to read it now, but it's over in Proverbs 6 about the ant and how we are supposed to live our lives and have character as the ant does. I learned a lot about the ant this week. And it's not amazing. It's what God created, but it's wonderful to see, because I've been out, looking at nature, sometimes we go out and play golf or go fishing. I look at nature now more than I've ever looked at it before. Growing up, you look at nature, you just kind of, you're not in awe. I'm in awe. I don't know if it's because you're just getting older, more mature. But when you go down there and you see God's creations, it puts you in awe, because it's everyone else in the world, they like to attribute Mother Nature to doing all this. Well, it's not Mother Nature, it's God who created everything. We go out to the Apopka Wildlife, usually after meeting on Sundays now, and it's just an awe to see God's creation of how they inhabit, how they live, and how they get their food, how they swim and be able to breathe underwater. And it's pretty neat to know that, to know what, God has created. He's created the ant. The Bible encourages us to consider ants and learn from them. Ants are diligent workers. They are very clean insects. They farm. They are very strong. And they are very cooperative. Our ecclesia is made up of many different roles, and all of us are necessary to function well, like an ant colony. We can learn valuable lessons from the ant. Ants always take the shortest path possible. We should never wander. We should be intentional. Ants communicate with each other to reach a desired goal. We should always communicate and never assume. Ants cooperate with one another. We should always be friendly and helpful. And the one I like the most is, ants are not lazy. We should not be slothful in our lives. We should not be standing around idle and doing nothing. There's always something to do. When you see someone that's standing idle for a period of time, there's a problem. Ants are diligent and hard workers. Ants teach us the value of hard work. Laziness does nothing but encourage us to procrastinate and to remain in a state of lack and apathy. Ants are never lazy. Neither are they poor nor hungry. Their efforts and hard work sustain them. If we strive to be diligent and work hard, our lives will be blessed physically and spiritually. Let's turn to, we're going to have several verses on work. Let's turn to 1 Colossians chapter 3. This is what the scripture tells us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. Let's also start, we'll start with Genesis 3, 19. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 19. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return into the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and until dust shalt thou return. We have a few in Psalms, so let's turn to Psalm 90. Psalms 90, verse 17. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Let's turn to Psalm 128, verse 2. Psalms 128, verse 2. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be. And that shall be well with thee. Let's turn to Proverbs 12, verse 11. Proverbs 12, verse 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Couple chapters over, Proverbs 14, verse 23. In all labor there is profit, but talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 15. Deuteronomy 15, verse 10. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for the thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and all thou that puttest thine hand unto. And the last one for this is Isaiah 64, verse 8. Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. So we should always be working, no matter if it's at our jobs or in the truth. We should never be standing around idle We should always be doing something. There's a lot to do. So we should always be doing something. We could take that from the scriptures, and there's a ton more on it about how we should be, you know, living our lives and not standing idle and continuing to work, continually to teach, to continually to, you know, benefit the ecclesia. Because when the, you know, the ecclesia is like the, you know, our group is considered the colony, as an ant colony, and in ants, if there's one ant that goes awry or goes bad, I'm not saying this is what we're going to do, but they take them out and kill the ant. That's what the ants. That's how the ants deal with it. They take that ant that's not cooperating, and they kill that ant. Now, I'm not suggesting that's what we do, but I'm just saying that's what the ant colony does. I think that would be a little harsh at this point. Maybe a talking or two would help. But we get the understanding of what we're supposed to do as a group. We're supposed to be one accord, one mind. Ants are excellent strategic planners. They teach us the necessity to plan and to look ahead. They store their food during the seasons of plenty so that they will have adequate amounts in times of scarcity. They also plan seasons of work and of rest to prevent burnout. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Ants exemplify what it means to be self-motivated. Size, lack, and location are not limiting factors for them. They make no excuses and continue with the business of getting things done. No one has to whip them to move, to do their work, or to work together. They work for the common good. While we're in Proverbs, let's turn to back to chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. We read, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Let's turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Let's turn a couple over to Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians 3, verse 2. Colossians 3, verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not things on the earth. And the last one for this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, and when we read this, it's to be motivated. Is you know, when the scripture is written, it doesn't say rejoice evermore if you want to. Pray without ceasing if you have time. That's not what it's saying. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, when the scripture is very clear on what we're supposed to do. He's not asking us to do it. He's telling us to do it. You know, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Not if you feel like it that day. It's not what it says. It's very clear what the scripture says. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing, one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I think that's pretty clear of what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to act towards one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're supposed to keep the unity, because when one fails, two fails, it becomes a problem. It becomes a disturbance in the colony. It becomes a distraction. And when you start having distractions, it's just like at work. You have distractions, what happens? Your focus is not on what's supposed to be. Your focus is on the problem or an issue. You know, we're supposed to come here every Sunday with our hearts and our minds open to what we're supposed to do. But if there's a distraction, it happens all the time. It happens to me. If there's a distraction, guess what? I'm not listening to the brother that's given an exhortation or given a class. I'm worried about the distraction. And that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to keep it in unity. We're supposed to all dwell together. One God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's what it's all about. And if we cannot understand that, or come to that conclusion of what the scriptures are saying, then we have a problem. And I don't think we have a problem in this ecclesia. I think, you know, there's circumstances that happen, but there's things that can be overcome. But I'm talking about the ecclesia in whole, not just us. I'm talking other brothers and sisters around the world. We all need to come as one. Ants are known for their teamwork and unity. Ants know that they can accomplish more by working together than by working alone. They set goals and work together to achieve them. I know we've already read Psalms 133, but let's turn back to Psalms 133, verse 1. Psalms 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Pretty clear. Let's turn to Proverbs, and we're going to read chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 for now. Consider the ways of the ant. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Let's turn to back to Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 13, and also 16. Ephesians 4, verses, chapter 4, verse 11 through 13 first. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Also verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let's turn back a few. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Let's turn to Galatians. Chapter 3, verses 26 and 28. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 28 through 28. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye all one in Christ Jesus. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I'm going to read that again. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And last on that is 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Verse 12. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 12. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the prince, by the word of the Lord. Are we an ant for the Lord? There's more than enough work for each of us to fill our plate every day. And probably no one is going to come up and tap you on the shoulder and ask you to do any of it. There are people to be visited, encouraged. There are many calls to be made to struggling brothers and sisters. There is much to do to bring up the kids in discipline and instruction of the Lord. There are many prayers that need to be prayed. There are many people to be taught. There are many acts of kindness to be done, things to fix and things to improve, and relationships to build. There is plenty of work for the colony, for everyone. Thank you.